If I could talk, the stories I could tell. It's the Bill Elder Podcast on this first day of March 2011. Happy birthday to Roger Daltrey, who's 67. Alan Thicke is 64. Ron Howard is 57 today. And Justin Bieber celebrates his 17th birthday. I do apologize for being so lax on these podcasts. It's a busy time of year. It's been busy for me. I'm lax about doing this sort of stuff when I get started. And a lot of times I just don't feel like I have anything entertaining or worthwhile for you to hear. I guess that's part of what being subscribed means, is that when it goes on, that's okay. Because a lot of times I feel like I just sit here and ramble all day. One thing, though, I will say, I got a message from somebody. And I was doing, sometimes I'll do, the desk that I use when I'm not recording is behind me. And someone noticed a picture on the wall. And they were asking me who the pictures were. And, of course, the CD on the wall is my godson, Nick. And they noticed Davy Jones in the other picture. And those pictures were taken when he was here recording. That's right. Davy Jones of the Monkees was in the house. And I have two YouTube videos up about this whole thing, about how it happened and when it happened, that sort of thing. And what I'm getting to is this. This is extra content that you probably won't hear anywhere else. So the story is, in case you don't know, a bank was bringing Davy Jones to town to be their spokesperson for 6 or 9 months. And they had a place to do the TV commercial, but they didn't have a place to do the radio commercial. And they wanted some place that nobody knew about. And since this is my home, and I just use the studio for me, they said, well, can we bring him by your place and let him record the radio part? And I said, well, sure, I'd love to have it. So that's where the rocking chair that you see in the video in the bedroom of the bunk beds, that is the chair that Davy Jones sat in and started telling stories. And that's why I call it Davy Jones Rocker. And I moved it. I completely moved it from the living room into the bedroom so that hardly anyone else would sit in it besides me. Now, the funny thing is, the chair that I sit at this desk was where he sat when he did all of his commercials, and I haven't moved it anywhere. So, you know, I'm kind of weird about that. But anyway, while he was here, before we were taping, because it was kind of one of these, I would prompt him to answer questions, and that was part of my responsibility. But he started telling stories, and he told this amazing story about a flight that he had had.
I had an amazing experience. I was on an airplane going to Europe, and there was a choir on board. And one of them sussed me out and, you know, we want you to sing, you know, Daydream Believer on the microphone at the front. I said, no, I won't do it. I don't need the microphone. I said, I'll sing it for you. But
it's all right here.
But what you have to do is, it was a whole choir of kids. They were going to Europe to sing in a contest in Germany. I said, I'll sing Daydream Believer if you sing what you're going to sing. And so I sang Daydream Believer, and then they got up, like 50, 60 of them. And they sang on this plane, and it was the 30,000 feet. There were 35,000 feet wherever we were, and they're singing this aria. It was just a magical thing. It was magical. You know, you can't really explain that kind of time that happens.
You know, speaking of really mystical, magical times, I was in the UK when Lady Di was killed. And this story kind of reminded me of this. Now, the Norwich Cathedral Choir had come to my church, and while they were singing, someone hit a power pole that caused all the lights in the church to go out. And they never stopped the concert. They continued to sing, but members of the choir, of which I was a member, would hold candles, knelt before the choir, and would hold candles so that they could see their sheet music. And it was amazing. No organ accompaniment, of course, with no power. And so Lady Di's been killed. BBC, all the channels were wall-to-wall news about what had happened. And I had to be in London. I was in Norwich, and I had to be in London that day. And as I'm riding to London, I was on the train, they're interviewing Michael Nicholas, who was the director of the choir. And they ask about an amazing thing that had happened during his career, with his choral career. And he said, well, the first thing that comes to mind is when we were singing in Macon, Georgia, and the lights went out. Just think of this. I'm on a train going to London, hearing about him talk about my hometown. And all the stars came together that night. We'll see you soon.